This is News and Views on News Radio 830 WCCO.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rashini Rajkumar, and you may have picked up on the fact I am quite a political geek. I am a lover of the Constitution and believe everyone who is qualified should go out and vote. And if you don't, you really don't have the right to, you know what. I won't say a bad word on the air. But I wanted to bring together a couple people today to answer all your questions. There are a lot of them out there. And these two people are rock stars when it comes to clarification. They are pretty much supposed to. It's part of their jobs. Secretary of State Mark Ritchie is with me. He is basically, I mean, it's a pretty big job, Mark. You are working with townships, cities, county officials to organize elections on behalf of Minnesotans. 3.7 million eligible voters. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
So 3.7 million. And in any given election year, what kind of percentages are voting in Minnesota?
In presidential years, we're always number one in the nation, 78% typically. That puts us 5 to 6 points ahead of the number two state, which happens to be Wisconsin. But that's just shy of 3 million voters. And that's about what we expect this year.
But we could do better, right?
You can always do better. In fact, some parts of our state vote in the 90% range. Some parts of our state vote in the 60%. So that 78 is an average. We also know that young adults who face really some extra barriers, extra hurdles to jump over, typically vote 10 to 15 percentage points below older voters. So we know we can do better, and we just have to keep at it.
And that's partly why I wanted to bring you together with Lillian McDonald, the executive director of ECHO Minnesota. ECHO produces educational materials on a variety of topics in up to 8 languages. One of ECHO's most popular this year multilingual programs of 2012 was their Voting and the Democratic Process. Welcome, Lillian, to the show. You've been on with us before. You're very committed to immigrant communities and also getting the outreach
to
them.
Thank you very much, Rashini, and hello to Mark.
Hello.
Okay, let's get started because we already have calls for both of you, and my listeners are very important. If you have questions for Lillian and Mark, you can give us a ring at 651-989-9226 or 866-989-9226. You can also text if you don't want to call and chat. 81807 is the text. Julie has been holding patiently since before the break in Minneapolis. Welcome, Julie. How are you?
Hi, thanks so much. Say, I have a fairly unique problem, I think. It's a two-part problem. Number one, I have a P.O. box on my license, which, as you probably know, is perfectly legal. I've had it there for many, many years. I've never had a problem voting before. I own a condominium in Minneapolis, and I've been at the same, you know, address for many, many years. So I'm wondering if I'm going to have a problem this time. The twist is, in my condominium, I got a green card with a phone number on it that I could call if I had any questions, but it said my voting place had changed. Now, I've talked to several other people in my condominium building. Some of them got this green postcard, and some of us didn't. So, number one part of my question is, am I going to have trouble voting with a P.O. box on my license this year, even though I never have before? And number two, was that green postcard legitimate? And if it was, how come some of the people in my building got it and some didn't?
Well, first, let me take your first question. Absolutely no change in our voting procedures. And although there's a lot of debate and discussion about new regulations, new restrictions, keeping some people from voting, all that is talk, this year's voting will go just like it always has. And so you won't experience any change. You will be asked to vote yes or no on some big changes that are proposed by some legislators for the future. But this year, no change, so rest assured about that. It does create some confusion, though, and so we want to reassure people, no change this year. But on the change that you have been notified about your polling place, in fact, with the changes caused by redistricting, many people are voting in a new polling place. Some buildings, in fact, are divided down the middle. The legislature, in their approval of the process, some buildings were divided. I know nothing about your building, but it's very simple on that card to just call if anyone has a question. If you are wanting to make sure, you can call that number. Alternatively, you can go on the website of the Minnesota Office of Secretary of State. That's just menvotes.org, menvotes.org. There are four tools, one called Polling Place Finder. You put in your address. It will pop up your exact precise polling place. It will also give you a link to find out all of who is on your ballot and direct links to the actual language of what the legislators are proposing to put into our Constitution, because that's not allowed to be printed on the ballot. So you can go to that website, put in your address, and double-check this as a kind of a peace of mind, or Monday or during the regular hours during the week, you can call the number on that green card to just double-check.
All right, Julie, thanks so much for your question. Mark, thanks for the good information. Lillian, you're working with some people who have never voted before, so 2012 will be the first time they vote. What are some of their common questions? I'm sure some of our listeners may have them, too.
Well, as some of the common we serve immigrants and refugees primarily coming into Minnesota to live and work, and they're having impact. We're getting more of these residents here that are working, the buying power alone between Asians and Latinos in Minnesota and in 2010 recorded in the billions, and they want to vote. And so we try to educate them on the registration process, finding your poll, checking on the issues in a nonpartisan way. It's just basically, where do you get the information? Where do I go? What to expect and why? We want them to be active.
Okay. And I want to ask both of you, whether you've never voted before or you have and you're wondering if you should, why should I vote? Why should I vote? Mark.
Well, this is the opportunity that each of us has under our democracy to express our perspective on what kind of leaders and what kind of changes or ideas we would like to see in our future. And so, you know, 78% of us choose to vote. In some parts of the state, it's 90% or more. So Minnesotans are very good about voting, but we also in that nearly 4 million recognize that there's a huge number of people who also choose to not vote or barriers are in their way. But let me add that we have found that engaging people in conversations about those who come before us, our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, others who we've known who have sacrificed in the Civil War to defend the Union and the Constitution in Vietnam, in the Second World War, you name it, those who have served our nation, when we engage citizens in conversation about those who've come before us and sacrificed, it does help them say, oh, I have to be thoughtful about this gift of democracy. I need to consider being part of keeping that democracy alive and vibrant and going forward. It's rare, but we do find people who just say, I don't trust the system or something like that. They've been disappointed, maybe they voted for someone who then went to Washington and compromised or something. But generally speaking, Minnesotans, we are the number one voting state in the nation because our citizens have been on the forefront of seeing how important it is to not just say how much we love this country and we love this state, but to see that voting is part of our service to take care of this place that we love.
So, Lillian, I'm guessing your clients are saying this.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the nice thing about Minnesotans. They like to get engaged, whether they come from other countries and they reside here and they try to find their way here, but they also want to make sure their voice is heard here by the voice with their votes. And whether they are registered voters and eligible here in the state of Minnesota, we're seeing among Latinos and Asians and Africans and others, if they can't vote, they're clearly taking part in political campaigns, local efforts to get people involved. They're talking to try to influence others to get involved or to register their vote one way or the other as they become a part of the democratic process.
All right. And, Mark, we have a text question. I think I know the answer, but I want you to expand on it so it's absolutely clear. This texter says all voters have to be citizens, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. In the founding days of our state, Minnesota was anxious to attract more pioneers from other countries and from other parts of the United States. And so in the founding convention, in the founding decades of our state, we granted the right to vote to people who had announced their intention to become citizens as a way to attract people. We would say out loud, we want you here, and we're promising you the right to vote. And many of those pioneers had come from terrible tyrannies in Europe, and so they were attracted to that promise by Minnesota of that right to vote. And other Midwestern states also advertise their state to these new immigrants with this purpose. But in the late 1800s, we changed our Constitution through an amendment process to take away that right to vote, that promise that had been made. We no longer made that promise. So since that time of that change in the late 1800s, you must be a citizen of the United States to vote. There are some citizens, children of residents of Minnesota who've lived overseas, children of missionaries or people in military service or diplomatic service, and they have to first establish residency, or we do deny the right to vote to some citizens in that way. It's a special law that Minnesota has. Most states have changed this, but for the moment, if you have parents who are Minnesotans and they vote in Minnesota, but you've lived overseas, you have to establish your own residency.
Absolutely.
Before you can vote.
I'm speaking with Minnesota Secretary of State Mark Ritchie and Echo Minnesota's Lillian McDonald. We're taking your questions and text on this voter voting panel. We're going to take a real quick break and then be back with more from our distinguished panelists.
News.
Well, I promised you would get politics, and politics you are getting. We spoke with both candidates in the third earlier in the show. We're going to speak with both candidates in the eighth district, Rick Nolan, Chip Kravac, a very hot and kind of getting ugly election up in the eighth. But right now, I am speaking with Minnesota Secretary of State Mark Ritchie and Executive Director at Echo Minnesota, Lillian McDonald, for our voters voting panel. We already have more texts and calls to get to for both of you. So John in Minneapolis, welcome to the show. What's your question?
Good afternoon, guys. My question is in regards to the presidential race and what your options are for voting for president. Seems that the media is only focusing in on the two candidates when in actuality you have various options for who you want to vote as president. So can you expand on that, please? Thank you.
Well, you're absolutely right. There's a number of candidates on the ballot, and you can go to menvotes.org, menvotes.org, and right there is a special tool called My Ballot, and you put in your address and it'll pop up your personal ballot, all the different candidates. So of course, everyone will see the same presidential, Senate, etc., but each of us find ourselves in different school board districts, park districts, that sort of thing. So right there, you'll see all the candidates, president and vice president, typically together. And if they have provided links to additional information about them, those links will be right there. So everybody can go take a look and do that research. And I think the callers really has a very important point, is taking the time in advance of the election to really do research. Presidents, sure. Also the judges, soil and water, all those different things that sometimes we're not as aware of. You can go to that My Ballot. It also includes links to information about the two proposed constitutional amendments, one on elections, one on marriage, because the actual language of what is being proposed by legislators to go into our Constitution isn't allowed on the ballot. The only way to know the full complexity, the full comprehensiveness of what is being proposed is to go take a look at the actual language. And then you have links to all the different groups, lots of perspectives, all the different ones right there. So check out all those other candidates for president. There's a number of them on our ballot.
Lillian?
I'll just add to that. It's a good point. And part of our programs for limited English and also native-born basic English programs include the opportunity in our ELL curriculums to actually take a look at the ballot and talk about it. And that's where folks can learn more than what the media is promoting.
All right, we're getting a couple questions in via text regarding absentee ballots. First off, can you still vote absentee? And one of our texters also wants to know, how can we be sure that my absentee ballot is counted?
Great question. Yes, you can vote absentee in person up through the end of the day of Monday, right before the election. That's typically in your city clerk or county auditor's office, and there's special hours the Saturdays before. So for example, next Saturday, there'll be some special hours. But you can still vote, of course, absentee through the mail. On that same website, minvotes.org, there's an absentee voting tool. You can get help figuring out the procedure if you need that. But most important, there is a tracking tool for that peace of mind to be able to follow your absentee ballot request and your absentee ballot, kind of like FedEx does. And that that is designed specifically for that question of the texter about how do you know. There is also a special website for military and overseas absentee voting. That's a special category. And actually, if you're overseas in the military, if you're in the U.S., and if you're overseas for any reason, you can get your ballot sent to you by email or fax. You have to print it down, fill it in, and many places have special arrangements with FedEx and also with the military postal service. There are some special tools that are available, information on that site, to get it expressed back. So there's still time if you're overseas to absentee vote. There's still time inside the U.S. to do it by normal mail, but also you can go and absentee vote in person during this week, this coming Saturday, and then next Monday again.
All right. So another question, Lillian, that I have for you. Some people might have trouble getting to the polls. Are rides available for people to get from where they live, their apartments, their homes, to the polls?
Well, there are some nonprofits, I believe, that at times have offered rides to the polls. You have to check with that. Mark might actually be able to name one right off the bat. But that's actually another way that we engage our communities to help out and take rides, take folks, senior citizens in particular, with rides to the poll, check on your neighbor, et cetera.
Okay. Anything else on that one, Mark?
You know, we stay out of that. We're focused on partnering with the 4,000 local communities and the 30,000 election judges, the half Republican, half Democrat, who help make our elections happen. So we really do rely on the kind of neighborhood and organized actions of Minnesotans to, you know, talk to their neighbors. We have those little red stickers. We have the ones that say, I will vote. That's a good one to wear between now and next week, and then I voted. But also, it's a reminder to think carefully, hey, is one of my loved ones going to be out deer hunting? Do they need to get in an absentee vote? Or, wow, is somebody in my church or in my family or at my workplace, is somebody I know overseas in school or working, do they need to be bugged or nudged a little bit? And then finally, there is that whole one-to-one communication, like, hey, are you all set to vote next Tuesday? Have you thought about, do you need any research? Or, hey, oh, golly, I'm supposed to be out of town at a conference. Well, you know, you can still go in. And then, of course, on Election Day, everyone asking everybody, have you voted already? Do you need a ride or...
But now is the time to think about it. And as for the rides, I understand but that the major parties at least do offer rides to people. So you can find it, again, Mark has pointed out, minvotes.org. Also, vote411.org will give you answers. So those two websites globally give you some answers. You can check out the Minnesota Secretary of State sites for more answers to your questions. Lillian McDonald with Echo Minnesota and Secretary of State Mark Ritchie, thanks so much for being on the show. Real quick, like literally each of you 5 seconds, what's your last message to Minnesota voters?
Got to be get out and vote. Your voice can't be heard. It can't be registered, no matter what language, unless you are at the polls.
If you think you might have a problem getting to the polls on Election Day, deer hunting or whatever it might be, please do Make sure you vote by absentee so your voice is heard.
All right. Thank you both for joining me on this voter voting panel. As I knew it would, it went very quickly. Both candidates in the 8th District are coming up with me after the break. We will also be talking food with Sue Zelikson and the Charlie Awards, the second annual Charlie Awards, also in the 2 o'clock hour. An interesting program kind of led by youth to prevent crime as well as grow after-school programming. That's coming up at 2:20. I'm Rashini Rajkumar. You're listening to News and Views.
Listening to News and Views on News Radio 830 WCCO.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rashini Rajkumar, and coming up, I'm going to speak with both men running in Minnesota's 8th District, Rick Nolan, the Democratic challenger, to Republican Representative Chip Kravac. Rick joins me on the phone now. How are you, Rick? Welcome to the show.
Well, fine. Thank you, Rashini. I'm just delighted to have a chance to be on your show.
Well, thanks for joining us. And I want to give my listeners a little bit of your background. You served in the U.S. Congress from 1975 to 1981, and you've been a businessman after that service. Why did you decide to run again?
I tell you what, the country's been very, very good to my generation. I think we probably had more prosperity and liberty and opportunity than maybe any generation in the history of the world. And none of us really ever had any money growing up, but we just had a bounty of opportunity. And that's what's being lost in today's economy, and that is the opportunity that was always there for the middle class if they're willing to study hard and work hard and do their job. And my family, we've always lived by the old notion that for those to whom much is given, much is expected. And I feel like I can maybe make a difference, get the country back on track. And I wouldn't be running if I didn't feel a special sense of obligation, in a sense that if I got elected, I could go to Washington and make a difference and get the country back on track.
And it has been a really tough time for Congress. There seems to be gridlock. There appears to be just no big fans of Congress right now from any party. What would you do differently if you were to win this seat?
You know, there's a couple of things that really need to be done. In the years that I served, we used to work, you know, at least, you know, 48 out of 52 weeks. We frequently went to work on Monday and stayed there till Friday in hearings, getting to know one another, learning where there was potential for compromise and agreement. Today's House of Representatives, I think they met 32 out of the 52 weeks. They go into session at Tuesday night for the most part. They have some votes scheduled, and they don't finish up on Tuesday night. They finish up on Wednesday, and then they go home. And then, you know, after three rigorous weeks like that in a row, they take a week off. And then after a couple of months like that, they take a month off. I mean, they're on a two-month recess right now. And there have always been disagreement. But in the past, the Congress stayed and looked at one another across the table, and they worked out compromises. And now what the Congress does is they say, well, the other party disagrees with me, so we're going to go home. And what in fact is happening is that everybody's campaigning and nobody's governing. So, I mean, the first two things that I want to see done is, number one, take all this money out of politics. I want to see this Citizens United decision reversed. It's getting to be just obscene, the amount of money that's going into these campaigns and elections. And then I want to see the Congress go back to work 5 days a week. They get paid well, and they need to sit at the table, look across from one another, and reach some compromise, reach some agreement. I was, when I served, I was a very effective legislator. And by the way, I get to keep my seniority if I win this election. But I always had a Republican partner in anything and everything that I ever accomplished, as did the other members of the Congress who were serious about getting things done. And that's what we have to go back to.
Okay, speaking of these expensive campaigns, the campaign in the in your district, the 8th District, against Representative Kravac has gotten very expensive. My information is that it is the 10th most expensive race in the country right now. One of my political analysts, David Schultz, has said in the latest outside polls, you are ahead by 6 points. And in your own poll, you are ahead of Representative Kravac by 2 to 3 points. It has gotten kind of contentious up there. I've seen some of the ads down here in the Twin Cities. Why has it gotten that way, Rick?
You know, I think it's gotten that way in large part because there's so much outside money coming in. You know, in the case of Kravac's campaign, he's got the Koch brothers, he's got Sheldon Adelson, the Las Vegas billionaire. And his campaign is largely been an attack ad on me and my character and my service and my person. And I'm not sure why he's chosen to do that, except that if I were trying to run again on his record, why that presents problems and difficulties for him.
A lot of times the incumbent definitely is favored. Like, in fact, 99% of the time, it seems that the statistics show. Why should the people in the 8th choose you over Kravac this time? 2 years ago, he beat Representative Overstar in a very, again, a pretty contentious election, but probably showed the Democrats that they were ready for, that district was ready for something different. So why should the 8th District go back to a Democratic politician?
Well, you know, elections are about choices and about consequences, and they have an incredibly clear choice in this election contest. Kravac has voted to do away with Medicare, as we know it, turn it over to the insurance companies. He's indicated he'd like to do something similar with Social Security and turn that over to Wall Street. He's voted to continue spending on the military and the so-called nation building abroad. Well, he's voted to cut funding on domestic infrastructure development, education, and human development. He's voted more tax breaks for the super rich and more tax breaks for companies that incentivize them to move their manufacturing offshore. And I'm on the opposite side of every single one of those issues. I think we have to stop these wars of choice, the so-called nation building abroad. Start rebuilding America. That creates jobs.
Let's talk about jobs. I know that's a topic close to your heart. What would you do if you were to win this election November 6th, when you enter office next January? What would you do to get that ball rolling?
You know, there's three principal things. First of all, I'm a businessman. I own a sawmill and a pallet factory up here, and my kids own it today. They're doing quite well with it. But I know how to create jobs, and that's what I've done a good portion of my life. And I think what we need to do to get this country back to work is stop the so-called nation building abroad, start rebuilding here in America, our roads, our bridges, our schools, our hospitals, helping to fund their kids trying to get through college, and giving whatever kind of assistance we need educationally so that everybody can realize their full potential. If we do that, that'll create a lot of jobs, create a lot of opportunities. Secondly, I think we need to change the tax and the trade policy to incentivize domestic manufacturers to keep their manufacturing here. That'll preserve jobs, and that will also create jobs for the future. Thirdly, we need to rebuild this middle class. As a businessman, I know that tax breaks are nice, and everybody loves one. But it's demand for your product that stimulates the creation of jobs. And so we've got to rebuild this middle class. And if we do that, that'll create demand. And that, in turn, will create more jobs. And then lastly, we're a unique district up here. We're a natural resource-based economy, and mining, and forestry, and agriculture, and tourism, and shipping. And we've got a lot of exciting possibilities here. We just need a member of Congress who will not only be helpful on the important global policies that are so important to our future as a nation, but someone who's willing to roll up their sleeves and go to work. Now, I can just give you one example of the Duluth area. Congressman Kravac, he came out and spoke out against the new airport terminal construction in Duluth. He came out against the Northern Lights rail transportation project between Duluth and the Twin Cities. He spoke out against the intermodal transportation center there in Duluth. He called the wastewater.
I don't mean to cut you off, Rick, but just so what do you find fault with how what he has taken his stance on those?
Well, I just the opposite. You know, I you have to have a good airport terminal if you want to stimulate good business development. I think the light rail transportation between Minneapolis and Duluth makes good sense, as well as the North Star line that would go up the western end of our district. I believe that those are the kind of projects that improve our communities. They create all kinds of good-paying jobs. They help lay the infrastructure and the foundation for successful business and business development. And Kravac wants to spend more money on nation building abroad while he's cutting funding for transportation and infrastructure here at home. And I just think that's a mistake. And it's one of the major differences between the two of us.
All right. Rick Nolan, thanks so much for coming on. Democratic challenger in the 8th District running against Representative Chip Kravac, who I will speak with at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Thanks a lot, and have fun these last 9 days on the campaign trail.
Oh, we're having a good time. Thanks a lot.
All right. Have a good afternoon. And as I said, we will speak with Representative Kravac in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll take a quick break now, and more news and views coming up. Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rashini Rajkumar on this Sunday, October 28th. We just heard from Democrat Rick Nolan in the 8th District. I will be speaking with Representative Chip Kravac, also in the 8th, a little after 2 o'clock, 2:05. We're giving them equal time on our air. All congressional candidates for Minnesota's congressional districts have been invited to come on the show, and most of them have said yes. The ones who have not yet answered our invitation, you know who you are. We hope to hear from you before the November 6th election. Next week, we will be speaking with 4th District Congresswoman Betty McCollum and her challenger, Tony Hernandez, in an extended show. We have a 4-hour News and Views next week, a hot day 2 days before the election. We'll have lots of business and political news for you. I noticed a story this week in the New York Times, and it's probably running elsewhere, about Random House and Penguin negotiating a merger. You may know of these companies, two of the biggest book imprinters, book publishers, really in the world, but very big companies. One is a British company, one is a German company. They are talking about merging. What does this mean for you? What does it mean for people trying to get their books out there? Well, the digital arena, e-books, Nooks, those kinds of things, Kindles, that's just growing. And these companies are saying it's too expensive for us to operate separately, so we are going to pool our resources. Now, this merger has not gone through yet. Both sides not confirming anything, but enough buzz is out there that this could happen. What do you think about that? It's a little interesting. At first, you read just the business side of it. Yep, you know, bringing down some costs. One head could be better than two as far as efficiencies. But what does that really mean? Because if you're an author trying to get published, now you only have one option instead of a couple different people. Book agents are not happy about this, as well as a lot of people are going to lose their jobs if these two companies merge. So that's something we will see how that plays out in the coming days. But right now, talk of a merger between Random House and Penguin. I will keep my eyes on that story. Also, you probably heard this past week, a little bit of growth, small percent of growth, just a couple of percentage points in the numbers as far as our economy growing in the third quarter, just slightly. The growth July through September climbed slightly, but still weak. So an interesting time, 9 days before the election. Is that going to hurt President Obama and his chances when these numbers are staying pretty stagnant, pretty weak, not pushing anything that big? What are your thoughts about who you're going to vote for, who what issues are up for you. We always want to hear from you on the show this week and next. Of course, in our extended show next week, we'll be taking open calls about what you're going to do 2 days later on Election Day. You can always call us 651-989-9226 or text us at 81807. A lot more show coming up. I'm going to be talking about one of my favorite topics, and I hope yours too, food at 2:35, the second annual Charlie Awards. Voting closes online tonight at midnight. Suze Ellingson, who founded those, she's a local food icon, will join me in studio to give us an update on those Charlie Awards. And I'd love to hear your restaurant suggestions. Feel free to call me or text during the show, and I'll get those out on the air to the rest of our listeners. But after the break, I'll be speaking with Representative Chip Kravac. Also learn about an interesting program to get youth crime down and youth and after-school programs coming up at 2:20. The mayor of Brooklyn Park will be here with me in studio. For now, I'm Rashini Rajkumar. We'll be back with more news and views very shortly.